We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
It's time for the Mountaineer Insider Podcast. Get insight into your favorite West Virginia University teams and hear exclusive interviews. Now, let's go live inside our MSN studios. Here's your host of the Mountaineer Insider, Dan Zangrilli.
And the Mountaineer Insider Podcast is on the air yet again with another episode. Thanks for being with us here. Coming to you, full disclosure, on the 19th of January, late in the afternoon, as we have just digested the schedule of the NCAA basketball tournament coming up and how it's going to look. And we're going to talk to Shane Lyons about that and what he thinks about it all coming up here in just a little while. We're also going to talk to Shane about the Time to Climb campaign. Many of you have responded swiftly, and we're most appreciative of that. And if you're unfamiliar with it, it's really, really important, and we're going to get into all of that. And you've heard Shane discuss it if you've been following WVUSports.com. Its importance, particularly at this time of year, it just cannot be underspoken at all in any way, shape, or form. WVU baseball looking to get on track here. We found some breaking news today that Kendall Rogers said that much like a lot of the other Power 5 conferences, they're going to try to play this thing as scheduled and as close to normal as humanly possible. We don't quite have a schedule yet, but I would anticipate that any day now, as I'm sure Randy Mazey and everybody else is just formalizing it all and finalizing everything. So look for that here on the horizon. But the news from Kendall Rogers that the Big 12 athletic directors have essentially signed off on everything, and it's looking to be as close to normal as possible as far as number of games. The entire conference slate will be played, or at least that's the intention. Of course, we'll put an asterisk next to it, like anything else, subject to change, and I'm sure we're going to have to be flexible, and we'll have some pauses here and there, and we may have some shuffling around of games as the season gets underway, and then hopefully progressives. But I guess as I tweeted out, one for team normalcy, right, as we try to get back. And playing this NCAA tournament, by the way, It's not going to be normal. It's going to be different. It's going to be in a bubble. It's going to have some similarities to what we saw, if you're an NBA fan, of how the NBA performed their postseason. The feasibility of that, that's something that we'll get into with Shane coming up here in just a little while, plus an update on Time to Climb. That's what we've got for you here on this week's edition of the Mountaineer Insider Podcast. As the men get ready to take on Kansas State on Saturday afternoon, they're back in action. Hopefully they can get one at Bramlage Coliseum. The ladies, they continue to push forward as well. Mike Carey's team is flying high. Baseball will be getting underway here sooner rather than later. Practice is officially underway. All right, so without any further ado, let's get to Shane in just a moment here, the Director of Athletics and the soon-to-be chair of the Division I Council coming up in July. We'll ask him about that as well. He's on deck, so stand by. Here on MSN, the Mountaineer Sports Network.
Today tastes like game day at home. Like assigned couch seating. Tastes like coffee table dining. And an ice-cold Coke to cool down the heat. It tastes like the game you've waited for all week with friends you've known your whole life. Today tastes like watching football is supposed to, and it never tasted this good. Coca-Cola, together tastes better.
Well, Shane, thanks so much for the time. Appreciate all of the updates you're about to provide us, and I'm most excited about discussing the Time to Climb campaign after being rolled out a couple of weeks ago. As I understand it, it's just been received in such terrific fashion, and perhaps better than we could have ever have hoped, really, by the Mountaineer fan base. But more on that here in a moment. I do want to talk to you about just a couple of time-sensitive items, and that would include fans maybe getting back to the WVU Coliseum sooner rather than later, the likelihood of that, and also some news as far as the upcoming NCAA tournament. But first, let's start with fans who are clamoring to get to the Coliseum to see Bob Huggins and Mike Carey's squads play. What is the likelihood of that actually occurring here in the coming weeks?
Yeah, we'll continue to evaluate that, Dan, as we move forward. And, you know, hopefully there's, you know, some light at the end of the tunnel here to let some people in the Coliseum. You know, it's all predicated upon the spike of the virus and, you know, right around the holiday season after Thanksgiving, and then with the holidays in December and New Year's Eve, you know, there was another spike. So, you know, from my understanding, it's crested a little bit. We'll know here by the end of the week, you know, what the holidays, you know, look like at the end of the December time period, and whether there was another spike associated with that. So hopefully by the early next week at the latest, we'll be able to announce something, you know, for the game on the 25th as we move forward. So, you know, it's a difficult time. There's no one more disappointed than myself. But at the same time, I want to be responsible and work through this together. And I think it's also important to note, you know, we're not the only institution that our fan base thinks we are, that we're the only institution out here that doesn't allow fans. And I will tell you, 26 of the 65 Power Five institutions are allowing fans. So the majority of Power Five institutions are not allowing fans. So it's not like we're out here on this island by ourselves.
So Shane, I'm going to play just devil's advocate here and be the ultimate optimist. And let's say that something does break our way. We're able to let fans of some capacity, hypothetically speaking, at the Coliseum. What will that look like? How prepared is the athletic department to do this indoors? What will it look like? Is it going to be similar to football? Will it not be? Can you maybe just give us the rough draft that you have ready to be deployed when you are given the green light?
Yeah, I think we have several different plans, Dan. And, you know, one plan which we started out with was very similar to football, around the 20% capacity. I don't think we're going to hit that mark, to be honest with you. It may be more in the 10% mark to start out with. And again, you know, doing some benchmarking around the country with some other institutions, a lot of those institutions that are allowing fans, even though it's a limited amount of schools, are in that 10% range. And I think we would probably be in a similar situation as well of being, you know, 1,000 to 1,500 fans to start out with. And as the time goes, hopefully we can, you know, reach that 2,500 to 3,000 mark, which we were hoping for back in December and early January. So, you know, we're playing, we're ready and prepared. You know, it's just not my decision, Dan. I think a lot of people think it's just on my desk and I can flip the switch and say, this is what we're going to do. But it's collaboration with the health officials, the medical officials at WVU Medicine. It's, you know, our own administration. There's a number of people involved in it.
Well, Shane, earlier in the week, we did get some news of how the NCAA tournament is going to look. Everything's going to start on the 18th of March. Can you give folks maybe just a quick rundown as this news is fairly fresh, and maybe what's your original takeaway of the NCAA tournament in 2021, how that's going to look like and be executed?
Yeah, you know, it's going to be unlike no other, Dan. I mean, it's not going to be your typical NCAA tournament. You know, it's all going to be played in the state of Indiana. They've, you know, portioned it out. Obviously, when you start with it, you have the, you know, 64 teams all converging on the Indianapolis area. Games are going to be played at different sites. And then as that dwindles down, it'll end up all the games will, you know, ultimately be in the Indianapolis area. The travel party is 34 individuals. And once you get there, the 34 individuals are in a bubble atmosphere. There's two hotels, to my understanding, that's going to be used by the NCAA. Each team will get one floor. You're kind of sequestered to that hotel other than going out for practices, then leaving your room to go to team meals. And so, you know, there's no walking around the streets and walking around Indianapolis during the daytime. So it's going to be that bubble atmosphere. The teams are going to be there. If you are fortunate enough to be in the Final Four, you'll be there, you know, the 3 weeks in Indianapolis. If you get beat, you go home. So that bubble will get smaller and smaller as time goes, but you will be sequestered in that hotel for, you know, 3 weeks, assuming that you make it to the final games.
Shane, what do you think of the plan? I guess nothing is, I guess, perfect here when you're trying to navigate a major college basketball tournament amidst a pandemic. I'm just, as you explain this and talk through it, and I think of, you know, a team in the first round getting there, you know, March 16th, 17th, play their first game on the 19th. You work in the academics and everything else, and all of the people. You mentioned the travel party being 34. Assuming you do get to the Final Four on April the 3rd, that is a long time, perhaps anything like any other moment in college athletics travel history. So there's a lot going into this. Can it be done?
Well, I mean, that's the million-dollar question. Can it be done? And, you know, I think there's a lot of smart people that, you know, got together in a room and tried to make this thing work. And, you know, we're seeing it right now, Dan. We saw it with our own team. This thing can spread very quickly. And what you don't want to happen, you know, is get to Indianapolis and you have 64 teams and they're all commingling with each other. And we see how fast the virus can spread in those situations. So the next thing you know, you're canceling games and people are going home and you have contact tracing, et cetera. So, you know, their plan is, you know, to create that bubble. You know, before teams get there, you have to test 7 days in advance. You're testing almost every day when you're there, just trying to keep the virus and its spread, you know, from going from team to team and individual to individual. So, you know, there's not a, you know, I don't know. We don't have that crystal ball to say there's a right or wrong way. I think this is the best way they think they can have the tournament and the safest way, you know, for our coaches and student athletes. And so, you know, I think it is a long time. It's like I said, it's going to be unlike any other, but in order to play the tournament, this is, you know, the sacrifices that's going to have to be made.
How similar or dissimilar is this to the NBA bubble that, by all accounts, had large success in how they were able to execute their postseason?
Yeah, I think it's very similar. That's a good analogy. I think they kind of used the NBA bubble when in Orlando and what they were doing. They had great success with that. Again, a lot of sacrifices by players, coaches, staffs, keeping the numbers small, not letting people in and out. Obviously, the people that's going out are the teams that get beat, and that those number of teams, go real quick from 64 to the 32 to the 16, 8, and then 4 and the 2. But, this is, I believe, the best way they think they can accommodate having the championship and keeping everybody healthy.
Well, Shane, we're turning our attention to a big-time campaign that was rolled out here a couple of weeks ago, and as I understand it, and large reason why I wanted to talk to you today was not only the news items that we have to deal with, but to just get kind of a real-time update of where we are at. Taping this, full disclosure here, on the 19th of January at 3:15 in the afternoon, the Time to Climb campaign has had great success initially. Is this surprising to you? And where do we stand right now as we speak here, taping this interview, with those numbers that have, as I understand it, been really, really good?
Yeah, I'm pleased with it. Obviously, you always want more and, people to join. It's something that, we've been talking about for several years now, and how to roll this out. And based upon my experiences, and we need to get more of our fan base engaged. And with that, I've used the terminology. We have a lot of fans, but we don't have a lot of supporters. And a lot of times numbers don't lie. And the graphic that we put out, that we roughly have 4,000 MAC members compared to our successors that have anywhere from 5 to 15 to 18 thousand. We have 200 living alumni, and we need people to support us, and that's our lifeline to success as an athletic program, and everybody has to play a part in this, and together we can accomplish great things. And when Mountaineer Nation takes that moment and we all come together, and it'll be something that we remember for years. But it costs a lot of money to run an athletic department, and facilities and travel and scholarships. And, we don't receive the institutional help in the past. Now, that's going to change a little bit because of COVID and, working through some of those logistics. But in the past, we hadn't, we were self-sufficient as an athletic department. So, there's individuals that buy season tickets. There's individuals that are already MAC members. But we need, some of the individuals, not only in the state of West Virginia, but nationally, who call themselves, diehard Mountaineer fans that can't get here and can't support us through season tickets and all that, to be able to say they're part of something and help us, from a big picture standpoint. And, you look at, and a lot of people use the examples of Clemson, and they've had the IPTE program for 30 years. This is a similar kind of concept. This isn't, creating something that's brand new, but we need to get, more of Mountaineer Nation involved and engaged. And I'm going to be completely honest and transparent when I say this. We've made some people uncomfortable, through this campaign. A lot of people have jumped on board, but then a lot of people, have not. And then you ask them why. You consider yourself a diehard fan. It's $21 a month. It's $252 a year. Really, it's taking in context, it's one meal that you don't go out in the month. So, it's a reasonable cost to get involved and support the Mountaineers. And I've heard people talk that they're in a group of their friends and there's 10 of them. And, oh, yeah, I'm a Mountaineer fan. I'm a diehard. Where you part, well, no. And it may be 1 in 10 in the room. Why isn't it 10 out of 10? And some of the programs have had great success, on the field, are those programs where they have large numbers of their fans become supporters and support them financially. And those numbers add up into big numbers when you start talking about, the 10,000, 15,000 people that we would ultimately like to be able to join this. Again, it's a time to climb. It's not going to happen in one swoop. We started off very well. My hope is by the end of the year, we have 1,000 to 1,500 new members. And in the next year, you add another 1,000 to 1,500 and you keep growing this thing. And, hopefully people feel that they're part of what we're doing as an athletic department.
Where are we at now? Is it?
As of this morning, we're close to, since we launched about 2 weeks, a little over 2 weeks ago, we're close to, I believe, 400 new members. So you're looking at 100, you know, roughly 150, you know, 125 per week. And, you know, hopefully that continues to grow. What we're trying to do also with this, Dan, is, you know, we need ambassadors out there. It's just not me as athletic director and the Mountaineer Athletic Club, you know, representatives. It's all of us. And it's, you know, it's the people who have joined to get their friends to join. And that's what I said, when you're having those, you know, events and people talk about, yeah, I'm involved. I live in Boston and I hang out with five other people, West Virginia graduates. And, you know, you ask them, are you part of this? You know, we get together, watch games, football, basketball, what have you. Why aren't you part of this? Because it's helping us, you know, defray the expenses of scholarships and give, you know, the most opportunity for experiences for our student athletes at the highest level. And, you know, that's what we're trying to do.
Well, Shane, you mentioned that we made some people uncomfortable. I'm curious as to how and why and what that is by rolling out this campaign that possibly could make people feel that way. What are some of the objections that you've received to this?
Well, I'm not sure if it's objections. It's right. Just that, you know, people will say, I'm a huge fan. Well, you know, okay, you're a fan, but are you a supporter? Well, no. Well, why aren't you, you know, supporting the program? You know, you may not be able to get to Morgantown to you know, support the team through season tickets, whatever, but why can't you do $21 a month? You may live in, you know, North Carolina, South Carolina, wherever. And, you know, why aren't you showing your support, you know, by being part of that? And I think that's where I'm saying it's uncomfortable. Yeah. And, you know, you've asked some people, and I've had some family members that, you know, I've reached out to and say, you know, I know you don't buy season tickets anymore, but, you know, can you support as well? You know, so everybody's looking for a reason not to support as opposed to reasons to support.
Yeah.
And that's where we need, and that's where I'm saying, I think we're making some people uncomfortable, because this is the first real push that we've made for, you know, our fan base to be able to join. Before, they could say, well, no one's ever asked me because I wasn't that, you know, the donor that could provide larger amounts of resources. Well, now we're asking the individuals that this is not large resources. This is $21 a month. And, you know, those individuals that have joined, you know, I applaud their effort, but we need a lot more too.
You know, and some will say, well, okay, it's $252 a year. I would say that the $21 a month, Shane, is perhaps more beneficial to the athletic department just from a cash flow perspective, right? I mean, it's eventually going to be the bedrock of how we operate and what we do long term. It's the stacking of the pennies that lays these blocks at day's end. So $21 a month, or in this case, four Starbucks cups of coffee or a couple of Frappuccinos, it will do the trick at day's end if you get enough people on board, right?
Well, and that's the whole goal of that, Dan, is, yeah, you're right. You know, if you start looking at the numbers and you're getting 10,000 and 15,000, you know, that's a couple more million dollars, you know, towards our bottom line that's going to make a huge difference, you know, in what we're able to do. You know, again, we talk about, you know, the things that we have to do in the cost of the athletic department and, you know, from travel to being in the Big 12, which has been very financial gains for us just from a distribution standpoint of a Power Five institution. But to be able to sustain, you know, our football and basketball programs and continue to work on our facilities, it's just, you know, as you said, the bedrock of what we're trying to do to build off of, you know, for years to come. And, you know, we want our fan base we want them to feel part of it, mm-hmm. you know. And again, you know, by joining this, you know, we've done some incentives of being able to get, you know, some gear and other gifts and prizes just to make it, you know, an opportunity. And there may be some things in the future that we're working with as well, that if you're a member of the Time to Climb campaign, that you may have other opportunities compared to those who aren't.
And And I'm so happy that you put out the metrics of where we actually stand, because I just don't think a lot of people, Shane, had any idea, because we've always been an institution, you know, the 15th winningest all-time football program, and, you know, there's perennial top 15 rankings with all of our sports. We've always punched above our weight class.
Right.
And this is one area, quite frankly, that we haven't. But the exciting part is, I was thinking about it, and as I looked at those numbers, I said, even if we just get to the middle of the pack, or even the middle lower of the pack, considering the recipe and the elixir that we have in our old golden blue DNA and what we've always done, you combine that with just a little bit more, it's really exciting to think about what the possibilities project to be with our athletic success, given how we've always been able to, again, punch above our weight class.
Yeah, you know, we've always, you're exactly right, Dan. And it's just kind of like, when are we going to punch ourselves out? And that's what scares me is, you know, we've been able for a number of years to do more with less, you know, and it's becoming more competitive within the group of five institutions. And that's where we need to stay and keep trying to get to that bigger weight class where we can continue year in and year out to be part of that. And that was the whole message behind this. And again, sometimes people get upset with me by putting out the numbers and saying, well, we're last, because no one likes to be last. But, you know, when you go through these things and I try to make, you know, looking at the vision of this department, you know, I came out several years ago and I talked about, you know, our football operations area being the last in the conference. Mm. You know, I got a lot of backlash for that. You know, there's no way that we're last. Well, yeah, we were last. I'm proud to say that, you know, by early summer, all those projects will be done in football, and our operations center goes from last probably to the top third. And that's where we need to be. And the same thing with these numbers is, you know, we're dead last in membership within the MAC, and we need to be in the top third of the league. And that's, you know, that's where our fans want us to be competitively across the board in our sports, and vying for Big 12 and national championships. And that's where we, you know, we need to get as well in other areas.
Well, Shane, I don't want to be a pessimist. I don't want to be an alarmist. But this is so important that if we don't do this, or if we wait, and if we kick the can down the road, we'll get it next year, or whatever the case may be. Especially now that you couple it with COVID, the numbers just, you know, they're stark. And they're stark for everybody. How again, not trying to be an alarmist here, but you mentioned that for the first time, and gosh, how long the athletic department is not going to be self-sustaining, that you're going to have to be propped up in some form or fashion by the university. How existential is this? And the fork in the road that we are currently at right now, is it an existential one?
Yeah, I think it is. I mean, you know, again, COVID was, you know, it's just caused really financial hardships, you know, across the board, not only in athletics, but just, you know, in a lot of different businesses. And you know, you look at your revenue streams and you're saying, how are we going to get out of this? And this is the time philanthropically, you know, we really need Mountaineer Nation to step up and look at the future and say, you know, how are we going to get out of this? And, you know, not sure, you know, right now we're looking roughly at a $30 million deficit for the year. We still had to continue to operate as a department, but, you know, we don't have fans. We didn't have season tickets. We have reductions in conference revenues because of our TV contracts, you know, all that culminates. So how do you make up that $30 million? You know, we may have a, you know, that's like building a whole new building. So, you know, we may have some abilities to give us a lifeline through the university, but, you know, we're going to have to look at how we're paying that back as well. Mm-hmm. So, you know, this is not, COVID is not a 1 year, you know, issue for any of us. It's going to hit us from a financial standpoint, not only at West Virginia, but across college athletics in general. And we talked about earlier, the importance of having a men's basketball tournament is it would be catastrophic to the NCAA. And people look at that and say, well, you know, it's men's basketball. Well, you have to look at men's basketball and football and revenue sports, you know, supports the other 16 programs that we have here at West Virginia. So those programs we call non-revenue, and they're totally non-revenue, and not even, you know, they cost us a lot of money to give young people an opportunity to compete in their sports that they love and participate in all their life. So it's a big picture, you know, of how everything, one domino leads to, you know, another domino falling if we don't make these things work. And that's why this just happened to be rolling out at this time. It wasn't totally due, Dan, to COVID, but the timing was right. We had talked about this long before, you know, about a year ago, rolling this out. COVID kind of put us on hold a little bit, but then gave us more of an opportunity to say there's more of a need more than ever right now to make this happen.
Yeah, and I just want to be abundantly clear in how we relay this, because I think that there's a lot of times, and listen, athletic departments and universities over time have always been, right, asking for some form or fashion of donations or funding from their alumni. However, there's a difference between a hardship, which maybe some economic downturns have provided in years past, and there's a difference between a hardship where it does, again, get existential. And I just want to make sure that we are properly discerning the two so everybody can hear appropriately the clarion call that's out there.
Right. No, and I think it is important. And again, just to reiterate, it's, you know, it's just not those folks that live here in West Virginia. It's the 200,000 living alumni that we have that, you know, that span the 50 states, that being able to join. And that's something that we'll probably roll out here too, is start identifying the individuals who've joined the Time to Climb and where they're from. And our ultimate goal is to have, you know, all the states covered, and to be able to say that, you know, everybody's, you know, part of the Time to Climb. You know, I'm excited for, you know, our basketball to kick back up and, you know, and get healthy and start playing again. You know, I'm excited about the future of Neil Brown and his football staff. You know, our Olympic sports and women's soccer continues to do well. Hired, you know, new men's soccer coach in Dan Stratford, and, you know, see him. Obviously, Rifle continues to compete at a very, very high level and ranked number one in the country. So, you know, we just continue to, as you said, outpunch ourselves, our weight class, and how long can we sustain that and keep moving forward. And, you know, we're not going to climb the mountain in a day. And that's why we kind of came up with the mantra, it's time to climb. You know, it's a long hike. You know, we're in for it in the long term. We want Mountaineer Nation to be, you know, proud of what we're doing as an athletic department, and in turn feel like they're a part of it. So hope it's a win-win for both of us.
Yeah, no doubt, no doubt. And so far, a pretty good rollout with 400 new members over a couple of weeks. So keep those donations rolling in. Shane, we'll wrap up here with news that came out last week of you're chairing the Division I Council here coming up. Your term as the chair of the Football Oversight Committee here is coming to a close. So in July, you're going to assume essentially some more responsibility. As if your role here as the chair of the Football Oversight Committee this past year wasn't exhausting enough, you get to you get a promotion in that respect. They slap you on the back, say, good job, now this, which is really, in all seriousness, it's a tremendous honor, and it's another opportunity for West Virginia to have such a large voice in the room in the direction of where this thing is headed.
Well, thank you, Dan, and I take it with much humility that, you know, again, it's a great honor. You know, it's voted on by, you know, the other council members who they elect as their next chair. And, you know, I take the role as chairman very serious, and there's a lot of issues that's currently facing the association and the name, image, likeness, the transfer rules, you know, obviously COVID and championships and how to conduct those in the future, assuming that we don't get back to normal. So, and again, I'm proud to be able to take on the role. You know, it is a volunteer role, so it's not a whole lot of pay comes with it. But, you know, I'm fortunate to be able, as you say, not only to represent the council, but it's also representing, you know, the whole of college athletics and being in the chair of director of athletics at West Virginia. It's also, you know, beneficial to our university, which, you know, makes me proud.
Yeah, no doubt. It's going to be fun to watch, to see where your leadership takes not only just, you know, from football now to the whole ball of wax in college athletics. Shane, I know the Mountaineer Nation is proud of you, and they have you know, they have a great deal of pride in the fact that we continue to lead from within and make some really large impacts across college athletics. Well, and thank you so much for the time. Appreciate the updates and where we're at, the candor as well. And we'll be chatting with you here before too long, I'm sure, with things ever changing. Shane, be well.
Well, thank you. Let's go Mountaineers.
All right, Shane, thank you so much. That's the director of athletics, Shane Lyons. Be sure to follow us at WVUsports.com for the latest information and that Time to Climb campaign. There is plenty of room. We need you folks more than ever. Time, the number 2, climb.com. Coming up next week, who knows what it'll bring, but we'll maybe try to track down Randy Mazey here before too long. As I mentioned at the top of the podcast about baseball, trying to get back in action. What do they have with the virtual leadoff dinner that they have? So much to talk to Randy Mazey about, as WVU has lots of folks returning to their roster. So what does the 2021 baseball team look like? We do know what they look like in the preseason rankings from Division I baseball at number 14, which is assumed to be the highest ever ranking at any point by a WVU baseball team. So a lot of excitement is flying around. So that's going to be my mission, my goal, but yours, I think, should be to stay safe. Hail West Virginia. Let's go Mountaineers. We'll talk to you next time right here on the Mountaineer Insider. Take care, everyone.
You've been listening to the Mountaineer Insider here on the Mountaineer Sports Network from Learfield IMG College. And be sure to find the latest news and information on the Mountaineers at WVUsports.com. The following has been a presentation of Learfield IMG College.
Let's jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers, hunt for muddy puddles, and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig, inspiring kid confidence.